Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The government shutdown may be coming to an end, but its ripple effects are still being felt. Federal workers have gone over a month without pay. There's growing reductions in air travel due to staffing shortages. And for almost 2 weeks, SNAP benefits, known as CalFresh here in California, have been disrupted after funding ran out. These benefits help around 42 million Americans, including over 5 million here in California. And there has been a lot of back and forth, all of which has created a lot of uncertainty and also comes after these programs saw emergency expansions during the pandemic. Today, we're going to dive a little bit deeper in understanding what these benefits are. Joining us now is Lauren Au, a professor of nutrition at UC Davis. Thanks for taking the time. Welcome to Insight.
Hi, glad to be here.
So let's just start with a little bit about your work with these benefit programs.
Sounds good. So I conduct research on how to improve diets and health of children and families from low-income backgrounds. Specifically, I evaluate federal assistance programs such as school meals and the Women, Infants, and Children, or WIC program, to help children have healthier lives.
Yeah, I mean, there are different kinds of benefits. There's SNAP, which is CalFresh, also WIC, as you laid out. Who are the people that are relying on these resources, and what's the difference between them?
That's a great question. So, as you mentioned, SNAP is the biggest anti-hunger program. It stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. And I want to highlight the word supplemental, because most, if not all, of these programs are supplemental in nature. And as you mentioned, in 2023, there were 42 million Americans that received SNAP benefits, or 1 in 8 Americans. And SNAP supports children, the elderly, individuals with a disability. And these are really everyday people. It is people you run into at the grocery store. It is people at my children's school. It's people in your community.
Okay. So how does one qualify for SNAP or for WIC?
That's a great question, too. So eligibility for SNAP is determined on income. So for someone for SNAP, they qualify if they have an income of 130% of the federal poverty level. So most people don't know what that is. So for example, for a family of four, that's approximately about $41,000 per year. It's different for WIC. For WIC, it's a higher income eligibility of 185% of federal poverty level and a nutritional risk criteria.
Yeah, and because WIC is for women, infants, and children.
Exactly.
When it comes to these benefits, what are some of the misconceptions that have been going around during this government shutdown that you would like to clarify and clear up?
Yes, there's been a lot of misconceptions. So most SNAP households are in poverty. 73% have an income at or below 100% of poverty level. So earlier I said that the qualification was 130%, but for the majority of participants, for example, for a family of four, their income is $32,000 or less per year. Nearly 90% of SNAP recipients are native-born American citizens, and 96% are citizens. And that's reported in USDA. Also, again, one of the biggest misconceptions is that these are everyday people that are on SNAP. So both Democrats and Republicans receive SNAP. And again, this could be your neighbor, a child at your kid's school, or someone in your community.
As a researcher and someone who's so passionate about this, how does it feel to watch this get politicized?
Honestly, it's really heartbreaking. I do a lot of my work, as I mentioned, within WIC and school meals, and we work with very vulnerable populations. SNAP, during the shutdown, should never have been at risk for not having the benefits come on cards, and that's what we're hearing from participants. I've worked in Congress in 2013 when we had another government shutdown. And while there's always a risk that the benefits will end, USDA has always stepped forward and provided contingency funding in those situations. So this is really unprecedented, and it is very scary for making kids and families go hungry.
Yeah, I mean, you underscore that SNAP is supplemental. I mean, it's in the acronym. How much are the average recipients getting to spend per day on food?
The average person on SNAP receives about $180 a month, which equates to about $6 per day.
Okay. And that's $6. Is that enough to have a healthy diet? It doesn't seem like much. It seems like relatively nothing.
Nothing. You know, I went to the grocery store yesterday, Vicky, and I bought with $6 carrots and celery and a couple onions. It's not much at all. And this amount is based on this calculation called the Thrifty Food Plan, which I was part of the valuation in 2021. It raised it from previously $5 per day to $6 per day. And I want to add that that amount is no longer able to be raised for the cost of food because in the One Big Beautiful Bill, they put a provision in that restricts that amount from going higher, even though we see at the grocery store that food prices are going higher.
Wow. I mean, it's also confusing learning about what foods qualify and don't qualify for SNAP or WIC benefits. I mean, what would you like people to understand when they, if they were to receive SNAP or WIC, navigating that? Because it can be confusing.
Yes, it can be confusing. For SNAP participants, they can receive money to buy fruits and vegetables, meats, poultry, fish, dairy products, breads, and cereals. SNAP benefits cannot be used to buy household supplies like toothpaste or toilet paper. You cannot use it to buy vitamins and minerals or alcohol or cigarettes. And you also cannot use SNAP foods to buy hot foods.
So like the rotisserie chicken at the supermarket.
Yes.
Which is so surprising.
Right. And just think about that. A lot of the participants do not have time to make the food that you would need through this plan. And it's really unrealistic. And unfortunately, time and the cost of time was not included in that $6 per day.
Yeah. I mean, I think about for myself, you know, and also talking with like colleagues at work. I mean, if you're looking for a quick meal that's relatively healthy, I mean, picking up the rotisserie chicken, it's a quick meal that can actually feed multiple people.
Exactly.
I also was driving down when preparing for this conversation, and I saw like a restaurant like Denny's, and it says that they accept EBT. How is that the case?
So I think it depends on the amount of food that is served hot versus prepared. And I think it's different for each different restaurant chain. But for the most part, you're not going to be able to buy much at a restaurant as you would be able to stretch your dollars at a grocery store. Mm.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with nutrition professor Lauren Au from UC Davis about food benefit programs like SNAP, CalFresh, WIC, and how they're impacted by decisions at the federal level. You mentioned that this government shutdown has been unprecedented in terms of its impact to SNAP. Is there any comparison between now and the pandemic, which was also unprecedented when it came to access to food?
Great question. So during COVID, during the economic downturn, we saw federal assistance programs actually increase benefits and more flexibility around enrollment and certification. So for example, within WIC, there was an increase to the cash value benefit to purchase fruits and vegetables. It went from $9 a month to $35 a month in 2021. And now it's stabilized about $26 a month for children. In SNAP, to help with the job losses, we saw benefits increase by around $150 per month. However, that has ended in 2023. So really, this is not a comparison whatsoever, because during the shutdown, we've seen the exact opposite. We've seen the Trump administration not provide benefits. And recently, we've seen in some situations try to claw back some of the benefits that were already distributed to participants.
Yeah, and there's been this whiplash during this government shutdown. I mean, from the Trump administration declining to use contingency money to fund SNAP, to courts ordering that full benefits be restored, which was paused by the Supreme Court, the government calling on states to undo some of those SNAP dispersals. I mean, at the root of this, the most important piece are people that need to be fed. How does that back and forth and that uncertainty create a barrier?
It creates a barrier. It creates confusion and panic. So we are seeing millions of children and families in fear of not knowing where their next meal is coming from. In California, the food banks and charitable food systems are completely overwhelmed. So we saw that the National Guard was called in to support food banks. And even in my son's school, food donations are trying to help fill this gap so families do not go hungry.
How are you advising your clients during this time about being effective and just trying to access healthy food and still use these benefit programs as they still kind of exist and are in this limbo as the shutdown continues?
So we're really lucky in California that our programs are doing a good job with outreach. I will say that one of the best outreach opportunities within SNAP, unfortunately, was just cut in this administration, and that was SNAP education. So that used to provide healthy meal and budget planning for SNAP recipients, and it was completely stripped. So as that shortfall, we are using other programs and other outreach systems. WIC has amazing nutrition education as well as school meals. However, we're still seeing huge gaps in terms of services that are being able to provide for participants.
Yeah, I mean, going grocery shopping, you know, can be overwhelming. Life is busy. People have a lot going on. If someone is strapped right now, what advice do you have for helping someone navigate and use the money that they have most effectively to get nutritious food?
So the easiest way and the best way to have a healthy diet requires both money and time, right? And it's two things that are very hard to come by. The time to plan menus, to travel to and from grocery stores, to comparison shop, and to prepare meals. One of the best ways we see within WIC for having a healthier diet is utilizing that cash value benefit to purchase fruits and vegetables. It's giving them the most flexibility to choose which fruits and vegetables they want to provide. And we're hearing from participants that it's really making a difference. We're seeing impact on food security. We're seeing changes in what they're buying. So families can buy spinach and cauliflower for children where they otherwise wouldn't be able to afford it.
If you're someone who is in a position that can help, how should people help during this time?
So I just took my kids to the school to donate foods because at work, at schools, there's food donations going on. It's approaching Thanksgiving. So if I tell people, if you are able, if you can donate to food banks or charitable food systems in your community, that is one option. And if you can also teach children about the process of why we're sharing with other families, my kids are 3 and 5 years old. And when they asked why we were donating foods, I said, because other children were going hungry. And immediately they understood the concept.
What would you like someone to know who maybe not fully, but is partially in support of this, that feels like there are people who are taking advantage of the system? Given that you work in this field so closely, what would you say to that?
I would say that $6 a day is not a lot of money. It is a supplemental program, and it feeds hungry children. This is a program that we see affecting everyday people. And so everyone knows someone that receives SNAP. And if they don't, it's because people feel stigmatized being on the program. So having empathy and heart right now could go a long way.
So say if the shutdown ends today, how long before full benefits start rolling out again to participants? Or is there still going to be some lingering damage even once the shutdown ends?
I'm already seeing in the news that there are states that have restrictions in terms of when they can issue SNAP benefits. So it's going to vary state by state. I think there's still going to be a delay. And unfortunately, the people that are going to be hurt the most are SNAP recipients.
This is also coming at a time, finally, where, you know, it's the holidays and you think about gathering with family and friends. And I mean, of course, you always need access to food, but this is kind of like food Super Bowl time. What does that mean to you?
It means leaning on our community. And again, for those that are able to help, by helping out someone or donating to food banks or charitable food systems right now, I think everyone could use extra support.
Yeah, and if you can't donate, volunteer.
Yes,
you know, your exactly. Time is also really important and valuable.
Yes.
Lauren, thank you for stopping by.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Lauren Au is a professor of nutrition at UC Davis, and we've been talking about SNAP, CalFresh, and other food benefits and how they can be impacted by decisions made on the federal level. And that is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast on Apple or Spotify. And if you want to join the conversation, you can send us an email at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Sarit Lashinsky and Jen Picard. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones, and our audio engineer is Stephen Starbuck. Our original show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.